We are in the beginning of chapter 4, which can be found on page 355, 356. We have finished tshuva according to Gemara, with a big emphasis on fasting. At this point, the Alter Rebbe is going to be speaking about tshuva according to the Kabbalah.
Which means we're in big trouble.
No. It gets easier. Once you start losing like 3D, then it gets really easy. Yeah. And by the time you get to chapter 12, you just go, oh, is that all there is?
Yeah, really?
That's great. No problem. That's why I say don't do anything until we get done. Okay? Without being flippant. So the Rebbe points out in a sikha that explains this chapter a reminder that a geras tshuva was included in Tanya. The first edition of Tanya was three parts: Tanya, Sharyachad Vamuna, and the geras tshuva. Geras HaKedesh and Kunshas Achron came in later editions posthumously.
Okay.
So the Alter Rebbe wanted this to be part of Tanya and saw it as a necessary part of the Aveda of the Beinoni.
Okay.
And fits under the rubric of Kikar Valecha Hadavar Ma'odif Yichol Vav Halasoisei. On the title page, the Alter Rebbe writes that it's very close in your heart to in your mouth to do it. And he's going to show you how you're going to be able to do how it's very close. So here, in remembering this, he's going to talk here about, first thing he talks about is something called Tshuva Ilah, the higher level of Tshuva. We learned already before in the late 40s in Tanya that as soon as you put the word Ilah, the higher level, the Alter Rebbe already qualifies and says, not everybody gets it. If you recall, he said the Ava Rabba or Ava Ilah. He doesn't call it Ava, he calls it Ava Rabba. He says not everybody is Zoicha to it. In fact, it's a Matana Milamaila. Hashem gives it to people who work really hard and therefore are worthy of getting this gift of this tremendous love with Hashem. But here, Tshuva is something which is totally completely dependent on us. It is less ethereal of a mitzvah, or let's say it's more concrete of a mitzvah, than say is Avos Hashem. And Avos, what says Yahavtes Hashem Elokecha, so he asks the question, you should love Hashem with all your heart. How could you command someone to love something if they don't love it?
Right.
We give answers, you meditate, and you develop the love, etc., etc., etc. We don't ask that question as far as tshuva is concerned. Because we say the ish yazav is darkei, a person has to leave his way, v'shad av Hashem, and return to Hashem. Okay, there's a no nonsense. There's something you have to do.
Concrete piece.
Concrete.
Yeah.
Okay. So being that it is that when it says in the beginning, the onset of Tanya, kikar v'lech hadavar me'oid, what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about was the Torah and mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs? All of them.
Just all of them.
Yeah, so all of them are kikarav. So even though there might be some facet of a mitzvah which may seem at first glance difficult, here the Alter Rebbe in this chapter 4, his purpose is to show that even such a thing as tshuva ilah is also an easy thing. It's something which is attainable for us. So now he starts. V'ulam kol hanal hu legamar kaparo, America nefesh.
Wait, was that us in his generation, or was that us in our generation?
The Tanya was written for everybody.
Yes.
Okay? So, ulam kol hanal hu legamar hakapara. Umerek hanefesh la Hashem echad b'tshuva k'mo shekotov le'el b'gemara perakama d'zvachim. All we said before about this fasting business, what was that all about? That really had nothing to do with tshuva. He really hasn't talked about tshuva since chapter 1.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 2 and 3 are not talking about tshuva. They start, on the contrary, it starts, if you look back, and it says, in chapter 2, Akolzel inyan kapara mechilos ha'aven. All that has to do is with the, as far as the kapara is concerned. Yeah. Who's doing, we said before, who's doing the kapara?
Hashem.
Hashem's doing the kapara.
Right.
So chapter 2 and chapter 3 are to facilitate Hashem doing something.
Right.
So now, in this chapter, so we're going back to, well, what do you have to do? Mm. You, the collective you, not you.
Yes.
Okay. After who darn la achash yirzale prakli, that this is a present after he wants to make the king want him back again, okay, get him back into his good side, okay. So all that business with fasting at this point, basically just forget about it, okay, because that has really nothing. He said any onset that has nothing to do with teshuvah.
Right,
teshuvah is defined as a zivas hachet, stopping sinning. And stopping sinning is divided into two parts. Charata alahavar, remorse on what he did till now, and kabbalah alahavar, and to resolve never to do it again. That's called a zivas hachet. And a person can do this with teshuva shalema, with a complete teshuva. And what is it an indication? Person may never know. I think we mentioned this last week. A person may never know that he ever did tshuva properly. But where is it that it could be an indication is if he's in the same situation to do the sin again and he doesn't do it, so that indicates that he's left that way. He's not interested in doing it. Mm. Okay, so that indicates that the tshuva is a complete tshuva. Mm. Okay, but you can go your whole life without any indications that what you've done is of any worth at all. So, but the answer then is, so? Who says you have to know what you're accomplishing? Nobody in this world knows what they're accomplishing, because the accomplishments don't affect only this world. The accomplishments affect the whole entire creation. As the Mezitcher Magid says on the expression "Da Mashal Ma'ala Mecha," you should know which is higher than you. It's written on the Amid and sometimes in the walls in Shul. The people should look and say, "Oh, Da Mashal Ma'ala Mecha," you should know what's higher than you. So he sang it, he said, you're singing it a little bit wrong. Da, you should know. Mashal Amayla, that which is above, Mimcha is from you. Mm-hmm. That the whole entire Seder Histalshulus is based on out the foundation that we are laying. And we therefore have this responsibility of making sure that the entire order of creation, the whole Seder Histalshulus, is functioning properly. Okay, so it's true, it's a big responsibility, but we have no idea what we are accomplishing, because we're affecting the entire spectrum of creation.
Right.
And just even in this physical world, we don't know. There's a famous story that two bachurim went on a merkel shlichus to Oklahoma, okay, in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Okay, what was Judaism like in Oklahoma in the 1960s? I got news for you. In the 2010s, what's Judaism like in Oklahoma? Even though I have two good buddies that live there, you know, I wouldn't. When you're thinking Oklahoma, the first word that comes to your mind is not kosher.
Not exactly. No.
You know, oh yeah, Oklahoma. That's one of those Jewish places. Yeah. That's what you can go and be Jewish in Oklahoma. No, it's not one of those things. So, but not to take anything away from Oklahoma.
No,
I understand. It's a very good, nice place to live. Anyway, so two Bahram went to Oklahoma, and Merkus Shlichus, they call it Merkus Shlichus, because Merkus is the book division. Mm-hmm. And they went there with satchels filled with Jewish books.
Oklahoma.
With the intention, this is where all the Bahram did. The intention was, what were they really doing? What they were really doing is selling books.
Yeah.
And in the process, making connections and this type of stuff. But the I don't know if it was a pretext or if the Rebbe really wanted them to, like, listen, we really got to sell these books if we want to make any money. So if they're not going to come to us, we'll send them
to
them.
We'll take it to them, right?
Yeah. So they went and they wrote a whole report that we accomplished nothing. We went to Oklahoma. We saw nobody. We didn't sell a single book. And basically a waste of time.
Uh-huh.
So they went to the Yechidus. And the Rebbe pulled open the drawer and he took out a letter that said that there was a woman in Tulsa, and she looked out. She was looking out the window and she saw these two bachurim walking back by with tzitzis and with a yarmulke, with a hat, the whole business over there. And it reminded her of her father, and she decided that seeing this, it's a sign from above, she's going to start keeping Shabbos. So we have no perception idea what we're doing in this world, and for sure what's going on in any other worlds. So we shouldn't even bother looking for signs that we're doing the right thing.
No, that's a mistake.
Okay, and what do you think about a person that they're doing something and looking over their shoulder why they're doing it to make sure, oh, you see, I'm doing the right thing? It's not the way to go about doing it.
Well,
we have to do
something.
It because it has to, yeah. We have to do it. It says, it says in the Gemara, what's a chassid shoita? A stupid chassid is a guy that walks with his eyes closed so he doesn't see women, and he winds up bumping into walls and poles.
Right.
You know, that's a chassid shoita, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Bangs his head against buildings because he's got his eyes closed.
That's a good idea.
So anyway, so he says, the beginning of tshuva, where it's the starting point, is the lev shalom, the complete heart, a complete sense of feeling that I really don't want to do that anymore. And there are many impeti for causing a person to feel that way. And hence, there are different levels. There's an infinite number of levels of teshuvah, depending on what's the stimulus to get the person to do it, depending on what level the person is as far as his neshama is in his body, depending upon how much he's thought into it. There are a tremendous amount of variables that will determine what type of teshuvah a person's doing. Okay, now, for sure, everybody would say, well, I want to do the best. Okay, so if you want to do the best, then okay, so then you got to give the best. And that's where the Alter Rebbe was not one for pulling his punches.
As long as it doesn't cost me anything, I want my best.
Yeah, there's no gray area by the Alter Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
The Alter Rebbe wanted, what did the Alter Rebbe want? 100%. Wherever the Alter Rebbe talks, he has these expressions, Amis la'amitai, absolute truly, you know, b'lev shalom, you know, with a full heart. Because a person who does a little bit of tshuva, you want to say maybe it's like a little bit pregnant? Okay, I did a little bit. I'm
doesn't work.
No, it's not. There's missing. A person can't say, I'll do a little bit of tshuva.
A little tshuva,
You know, I mean, ultimately, we talk about what's the difference between a tzaddik and a beinoni. It's already been discussed way back when that a tzaddik hates evil and a beinoni still loves evil but just doesn't engage in it. Okay, so can a person train themselves to absolutely hate evil? It's really tough. As he says in chapter 14, it's really tough. If a person really wants to do that, they really could, but it's not demanded of us.
No.
Hashem's not expecting us to hate evil. Hashem's just expecting us not to get involved,
to with,
involved it.
Right.
Okay, so then the lev shalom that we're talking about, generally speaking, when we say lev shalom, well, you have the expression, v'ahavtes Hashem alekecha v'chol levavecha. You should love Hashem with all your heart. And the simplest interpretation, what does it mean, v'chol levavecha, with all your heart? Because it doesn't say v'chol levavecha, it says levavecha with two bases. So Rashi, the Pashtun of the Torah, says, b'shnei yitzarecha. You get your yitzahara also to love Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
That's all.
Just get your yitzahara, which is manifest in the Nefesh of Bahamas and in the body, To also do tshuva.
Yeah.
And then we can say, this person did tshuva.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we're going to call that the higher level of tshuva yet. Okay? But he says, that just it should be the very beginning, the onset. We're not talking about working way up. We're going to talk about once you get past the initial inertia.
Just get started.
The beginning spot. Starting point.
Yes.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Yes.
Is belave shalom.
Yes, indeed.
Now, and I have to give a caveat. I don't want you to get worried. I don't want you to get discouraged and say, man, I'm never going to I can't do that. I'm not going to get... I'm not holding by the fact that I get my Yetzirah to love Hashem. It says, but, as I said at the onset, the Alter Rebbe's motto is Kikarav Alecha Hadavar Ma'od B'fichul Vavacha La'aseise. Not only is it that you could do it, but it's very easy to do it. And that means also tshuva b'lev shalom as a starting point. Because once a person is aware of what they have to do, if a person never learned this, never learned Tanya, never learned it with the Rebbe's Bi'urim, so they would think, tshuva, okay, what's tshuva? I feel bad about what I did till now, and I resolve I'll never do it again, I'm a tzaddik. Okay? And you know what? He'd be a tzaddik. Okay? Because he doesn't know any better. But when a person is going to start thinking, well, what does that mean? When we're talking about teshuva, especially when we get into the later chapters over here, when he says that teshuva doesn't mean from sins, you don't have to have done a sin to do teshuva. No, the pasuk v'shav ad Hashem, and you should return to Hashem, is a separate clause from the Yazav Rasha as Darko, is the clause that says that a Rasha should leave his path.
Right.
The Rasha should leave his path is one thing, and return to Hashem is another thing.
A whole different world, right.
There's an esnachta in the middle, there's a rest, which means it's a separate idea.
Right.
So that means that the tshuva could be, for primarily it is, not for sins. Because the real idea of tshuva is, I feel far from
Hashem,
and what am I going to do to get closer to Hashem?
Yeah.
And that's something that a person has the ability of training themselves.
Yeah.
And how is that done? This is very simple. This is very easy. He's going to say later on that if a person learned normally 100 times, let him learn 101 times.
Yeah.
Okay, he says actually if he learns 1 or 2 chapters every day, let him learn 3 or 4 chapters every day. If a person accustoms themselves to go beyond their norm, the regilos, their normal customs,
right,
in serving Hashem,
right,
and then they're there. That's the beginning. That's how you do it. Okay? Because we're always looking, how is it, we have to look at it, how can I make myself better today than yesterday?
A little more.
What am I going to accept upon myself today? Just a little bit more than yesterday.
A little bit more, that's right. Just,
okay?
Just adding.
Yeah. So, ha-hechrich levar heiti v'harchavas habir behekta mashakas v'zara kodesh b'bir amilus tshuv al derech hasoid. So, to understand what does this mean, the easiest way to explain the concept of tshuva, that the proper mitzvah of teshuva, people who learn just Gemara, they're missing it. They're tzaddikim.
Yeah.
But as a tzaddik, I wouldn't want to be. They're doing everything 100% right. They get A for effort, and it's like it's two-dimensional Judaism is what it is. So, in order to really fully appreciate what does it mean, so you have to learn the deeper insights. As he says, by prefacing, that's what it says in the Zohar, when it explains, we're going to explain the word teshuvah according to the deepest meaning. That what's teshuvah? Tashuv hey. Return the hey. Hey tata teshuvah tata, hey ilah teshuvah ilah. In Hashem's name, you will find 2 hays.
Mm.
When, as the each of the letters of Hashem's name is analogous of the spheroids. The Yud is Chachma, the Hay is Bina, the Vav is Zav, the 6 Midos, and the last Hay is Malchus.
Malchus, yeah.
Okay? So if you put it into this category, it says, what do you have to do? Is you have to, in the lower level of Tshuva, you have to return Malchus to the Yud, the Hay, and the Vav.
Yeah.
In the higher level of tshuva, you're returning the hey to the yud. Okay, so the lower level of teshuva. So that means what? You're not talking about your malchus and your bina. Right. You're talking about Hashem's.
So what, say again, what were the first two? The first yud, the first hey word?
The yud is chachma.
Chachma, yes.
The hey is bina.
Is bina, okay, fine.
The vav, numerical value
vav,
six,
vav is
the
midos.
Six midos.
Midos, right.
And the last hey is malchus.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay? And Malchus, he's going to zero in first of all on the lower level. We'll talk about the higher level, okay? Well, Mashik, he says, I don't understand. What does it mean? You have tshuva tata and tshuva ilah. Tshuva tata. One of the things the Alter Rebbe negates is when you talk about tshuva. There's something called tshuva ma'ava. Something called tshuva miyira. Tshuva miyira doesn't mean I'm afraid I'm going to get smacked. That's not tshuva miyira. He mentioned it before. Why does he have to fast? Is maybe he didn't do the tshuva out of love with an expression of getting closer to Hashem, but he only did it out of the tshuva miyira. Not that a tshuva is going to get smacked, but rather a tshuva more out of not of a feeling of wanting to get close, but he's awed by it and just says, I really don't want to muck things up anymore.
Right.
It's not that what he's missing is this idea of wanting to get close.
Yeah.
So we tell this guy, for example, back in chapter 2, so maybe you should fast. Maybe that'll make you more spiritually sensitive. Because what person doesn't want to get closer to Hashem is a person who doesn't understand what would be the benefits of getting closer to Hashem. Okay? So in that instance, he says, well, maybe that person should fast, and he'll think about it, and to be reflective, and he'll come up with the idea, yeah, maybe I do want to get closer to Hashem. So he says over here, V'gam ashekosu b'zoyer b'miksos m'mkaymais. That which it says in the Zohar in some places, she'ein shuva ma'elus l'paygam b'risei ha'omaisya zavar levatola. That which it says that tshuva doesn't help for one who has blemished the covenant and emitted its semen wantonly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before, just that statement alone requires explanation. What does that mean? First of all, the Alter Rebbe already said that we're going to explain tshuva al derech hasod. So when I say we're going to explain tshuva according to the esoteric meaning of the Kabbalah,
right,
which would you think would be the first book that the Alter Rebbe would be thinking about quoting? How about like the Zohar?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's
the grandfather of all
the books.
Yeah. Right.
All the books that are based on Kabbalistic teaching, all the Kabbalistic teachings are based on the writings of the Zohar.
Right.
So of course he's going to say the Zohar. But then he says that which it says in the Zohar. Okay, so okay, good. So he mentions it just like you said. You didn't really know. Maybe he's going to bring in a Rashi's Chachma from Moshe Gordovero. Or maybe he'll bring in a Rekanti or a Shalah HaKadosh, something like this. So he says, okay, no. I'm going to focus it. We're going to go right back to the main source. We're going to go back to the Zohar.
Okay.
We have to say Miksas M'Kaimos in some places. And it doesn't. What does that mean? Mixus Mekaimus means it doesn't say it in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
It just says it in some places.
Uh-huh.
That tshuva doesn't help because, in actuality, even he says the answer to the question is when it says that tshuva doesn't help, it means that tshuva tata doesn't help, but tshuva ilah helps. Okay, but the Rebbe focuses in when it says Mixus Mekaimus, it means that for the most part, when it says in the Zohar, talking about teshuva, it is talking about tshuva tata. Because the Zohar there is talking about what everybody can do, is the lower level of teshuva.
Huh.
And the lower level of tshuva is able to facilitate something, even for these two sins that he mentioned. Like, for example, the fact that the Hisazar Levatullah is punishable by death. Okay, the person should die when he's 50, for example. So a person does tshuva, even from the lower level of teshuva, and what happens? He doesn't die.
Mm.
It affected, okay, he might not be that he was removed, he scoured his soul, he got so close to Hashem, he's a burning a lot of desire with him, but he's still walking around at age 51.
Yeah. He's not pushing up daisies.
That, it did accomplish, something there.
Yeah.
So, and why is he mentioning specifically, why is he focusing on these two things? In the guise of heinous sins that people do, average Joe in the street doesn't do any of them. We mentioned this last week.
Correct, yeah.
It just so happens that that which is referred to euphemistically as sins of the youth, okay, which involves a certain specific, one specific body part, is considered heinous.
Right.
Okay, and we're told that, you know, this is, you know, we know from Or and Einan that they died. He's been going to mention them. And that this is something which is very fundamental to Judaism. Especially, he says over here, he talks about Pugam Brisei, the blemishing the covenant.
Mm.
There is a Medrash that says that Avraham Avinu sits at the gate of Gehenna.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has a bris, Avraham Avinu says, nope, he's one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to go in there. We're sending him straight. We're not putting him in there. Okay? What does that mean? Is Avraham Avinu saying, what percentage of Jews around the world are circumcised? I would say a vast majority.
Most all of them.
Most.
Yeah.
Okay, you get pockets, sure. Areas of here where people weren't into it. You know, you have some socialists, some people who are located in communist countries where they couldn't get it, you know, whatever it was. You know, you have crazy people who have crazy parents. You know, you can't pick your parents. It's unfortunate, but, you know. You know, God sends it down and says, no, I don't want to go to that one. He's not giving me a bris. Send me to somebody else. Nope, you don't get that choice. Okay? That's not what it's talking about, because that's a 2-second operation which is performed on a baby who's 8 days old who doesn't remember anything about it at all. Right. So what kind of brisa is that? The word bris means a covenant. He didn't say mila. Okay? My mail, by the way, did such a rotten job that I couldn't walk or talk for a year after my bris. Anyway, yes. So it's in
but you got over it.
Yeah, to keep the bris. It took a while, I'm telling you. It took me a year before I could walk.
15 years.
Okay, so there is an active, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an active participation on our part, which is not the right word, of Shmiras HaBris.
Mm.
We have this active thing that we have to do. We constantly have to do it.
Mm.
In Maisa, Dibur, and Machshava. Okay? That Pagam Abris means that, why is it? It says Hashem wanted blood from the little baby. So why specifically? He could have chosen an earlobe. We could have walking around with these, like, you know, little diagonal earlobes where it was cut off. And you know what? It would have had the same effect, you know, as
whatever.
The child wouldn't have remembered it. It would have healed over.
Sure.
And it would be readily seen. Oh, look at that guy. Look at that ear on that guy. Oh, he must be Jewish.
Yes.
Okay? It would have that effect. But no, that wasn't where the covenant was made. The covenant was specifically made with the penis because it is a major focal point of our religion and our relationship with Hashem of doing only what is correct with that body part.
Mm.
And all the things that go with that body part, including our speech and our thought.
Mm.
Okay? And so that daydreaming about promiscuous relationships
is not
It's not as bad as actually doing it.
But it's not acceptable at all.
Yes, what Clinton did was much worse than what Carter did. Carter only lusted in his heart. Yes, I know, I understand. But it's still, there's something missing there. And so that for that person, so Avraham Avinu says, well, the guy's going, he's going in, he's going into the fires. And he's crying to Avraham, and Avraham just says, throws up his hands in the air and says, what could I do? You know, you had your lifetime. You would have kept my covenant. I'd be able to help you, but I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why he talks about that, because this is, I mean, a society that is based on morals and monogamy is a successful society.
Ah.
And a society that is based on anything else will lead to chaos, decay,
and
crumble and fall.
Yes.
And we see that is exactly what was the main indicator in all of the world's major societies throughout history as to where we see that when they became immoral, they lost their strength.
Right.
It happened in Egypt, it happened in Babylon, it happened in Rome.
It happened in America.
It's happening, unfortunately, in America.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
Okay? I don't want to see America fall, the society of America fall, and Jews have to go to some other part of the world before Mashiach comes. I'm hoping that this is the last stop.
Me too. Don't hold your breath.
Okay? Because, unfortunately, we know that Jews in mass have not lived in China. So I sincerely hope we don't have to. I've heard many things to talk about. We've talked about them over here, of being, if you want to do the beer of China, well, we can do that here. We can purify China by just using all these things that come into this country that are made in China. And that'll purify all the sparks in China, and we won't have to move there, and we'll live happily ever after, and we won't have to leave everything behind and pick ourselves off with our shirt on our back and move to China. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. And then he's mentioned a couple times when he talks about the things that have to be corrected is Haitza Zera Levatala, wanton emission of semen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's a word in English for what you're supposed to be doing. Is the word is procreation.
Mm.
Procreation, the root of it is creation. We become contributors to Hashem's creation by procreating.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're supposed to be doing with our generative seed, is using it to become a partner with Hashem.
Right.
Okay. V'hu davar tamua ma'oid. So this is very perplexing. She'ein lecha davar oimi b'fnei ha'tshuva afilu avad azar g'yil l'arayas of shvichas damim. That nothing gets in the way of tshuva, even idolatry, adultery, murder. You can do tshuva for all of those things. Okay? Especially, I mean, you know, idolatry, what's the big deal? I have a letter stashed in the back of a book somewhere on the shelf over here that was written to a person in Seattle. Yeah. I think I wrote it up in an e-partial a long time ago. When he first became religious, I knew him from Seattle, we lived in the Chabad house together. He has since moved to Chicago. When he first became religious, he wrote to the Rebbe who I am and what I am and what I'm doing and etc., etc., etc. Hello, how are you letter.
Mm.
Okay? So the Rebbe wrote him back. I think he had some kind of questions that he asked. I don't remember. I have to look at the letter again. But the Rebbe wrote in a postscript, that which you write, that you had been a renegade Jew, according to our sages, this refers to a person who has allowed himself to be baptized. And therefore I recommend that you go to the mikveh in front of a basin of three Shomrei Shabbos, and Rabbi Levitin, who's the shliach in Seattle, can facilitate it, and I recommend that it be done as soon as possible. Okay, now, for the most part, I mean, I haven't learned Kol HaTorah Kula, but the expression renegade doesn't come up too much, and when it does, it's not talking about a person who was baptized.
Yeah.
But evidently the Rebbe could see in this guy's writing, oh, it's sort of like, oh gosh, this guy's been baptized, ugh. You know, just like, okay, I have to deal with this, please. You know, just like, you know.
Yeah.
Go to the mikveh, please.
Yeah.
Get all that schmutz off of you.
Yeah.
And the thing is that he didn't remember being baptized.
Yeah.
He had to sit down and think and said, oh yeah, before I married my first wife, they made me go take a bath in this thing over there in the church. So I just kind of like went for a dunk, and that was it. I didn't think anything of it. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't accept anybody. Mm-hmm. So, but the Rebbe said, the point is the Rebbe said, you want to wash off a baptism, go to mikveh. Okay, which that's pretty much the whole deal. Anytime a person is involved with idolatry.
Right.
So it talks about it. What should a person do? How do we know a person is done tshuva for worshiping idols? When he smashes the idols. Mm. Okay, my wife uses that expression, smashing the idols, because in modern times when we're not bowing down to idols, we're not bowing down to stones and molten images, graven images, we're still worshiping idols. An idol is defined as anything that we look to as a source of life,
right,
that is of tantamount importance.
Right.
And everybody has their tantamount of importance.
Right.
The Rebbe used to make fun of such people. Back in the 50s, The Rebbe would make fun of people who couldn't start their day without a glass of orange juice, a cup of coffee, and the morning paper.
Uh-huh.
They're so entrenched in it, I can't start my day without my morning orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was their idol.
Yeah.
Okay, the Rebbe didn't exactly use that word when the hippie movement started, and someone came to the Rebbe and complained about the hippies. You know, these people, they wear funny clothes and the beards and whatnot. So the Rebbe responded, "The ice of America is finally breaking. People are finally becoming nonconformists." Because the conformity of this country is ice. Okay, those are our idols.
Yes.
And a person could do tshuva for such a thing. Upirish bereshis chachma shekavanas hazayir she'em ma'el is tshuva tata ki'im tshuva ilah. What is it that helps? It's not that it says that the lower level of tshuva doesn't help, but the higher level of tshuva does help. That if a person is tshuva ilah, which he's going to explain later, is a tshuva which is an expression of a heartfelt desire to get closer to Hashem, based on nothing more than a heartfelt desire to get closer to Hashem. It's not based on, you have a level of tshuva where a person feels, man, I was really far, and I don't want to ever do that again, and I want to get close to Hashem.
Yeah.
That's a lower level than we're talking about here now.
Right.
Here, the tshuva law that we're talking about over here is I just want to get closer to Hashem because I want to get closer to Hashem. It's got nothing to do where I was before, because wherever you are, you can get closer to Hashem. We know that when Mashiach comes, Asa Tzadikaya did to you, if Mashiach is going to come and bring the Tzadikim who never did anything wrong closer to Hashem,
right.
Because however close you are, you can get closer.
Right.
And this is where we're going to stop.
Wow.
So we got up to Hinin Lahavin Zema Atmazer.
Yeah.
Okay. To be continued.
Shkoyach.